Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to take a look back at 2020 and forward to 2021 with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
In the National Guard, we place a high value on physical fitness. Just as important as our physical well-being is our mental well-being. This month, we recognize mental health awareness. I want to bring attention to the concept of resiliency and what it means for our soldiers and airmen. Resiliency is about our ability to adjust to and recover from adversity. While serving in the National Guard, we juggle many responsibilities, from family commitments to our civilian careers, all while fulfilling our commitment to our nation's defense. At times, we can feel overwhelmed. It is a natural response to our fast-paced lives. If you are experiencing difficulties maintaining this balance, I want you to know that help is available and that asking for help is a sign of strength. Our psychological health coordinators offer confidential assistance. You can call them 24 hours a day at 651-282-4029. That's 651-282-4029.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, on today's show, we're going to spend the entire show talking about 2020 and 2021 with the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And joining me now is our co-host for the show, Patrick Kelly. He's a retired U.S. Navy captain, and he became director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system in June 2013. And sir, I don't know where all those years went, but it's been a joy talking to you on the radio about all the things going on at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
Well, Tom, I don't know how many times we've been on your show, but I will tell you that it's been a great relationship and a terrific way for us to get the word out on what's going on here at the Minneapolis VA. I know you got a lot of listeners, and it really is a great opportunity for us. So thank you. I know you've celebrated a lot of anniversaries over the last year, but you've been a great friend of ours. So thanks for all of your support for all of the years that I've been here.
Well, sir, we're a great friend of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, but I'm also one of your patients, and all your people out there do a marvelous job, and I'm the first one to tell you that. Sir, on today's show, we're going to talk about 2020 and some of the things that happened then, and we're going to have a representative from the Veterans Benefit Administration, St. Paul Regional Office, on, and then we're going to have our friend, retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel John Knapp, on from the Fort Snelling National Cemetery. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about the VA, but Director, we want to start out with 2020. When it started, we just thought it was going to be another ordinary year, and I'm sure you had your hard hat out because there's always projects going on at the VA, and then a pandemic hit, and everything went sideways, sir.
Well, you know, believe it or not, we still had a couple of projects that we were able to complete this year, Tom, but, you know, it was unlike any other year, right? So we, you know, I'm proud of the work that we did here, and I'm proud of the response that veterans have had, and really their patients in many ways, as we have changed up many of the ways that we have delivered their care and taken care of them, and ended up doing many, many things in very non-traditional ways, in ways that veterans were not accustomed to getting their health care or getting their care or relating to the Minneapolis VA and healthcare more generally. So crazy year, lots of changes, but, you know, we've made it through. We're not done, but we've made it through 2020, and I'm looking for better things in 2021.
Well, Director, just like the Minneapolis VA, we've had to do things with the radio show with using Team and doing it remotely from the station, and Zach's back there doing a great job for us, but technology's changed a lot of things this year. We've learned how to do things virtually. You've learned how to communicate with your patients, your veterans, a lot, and there's been some advances in your telehealth out there at the Minneapolis VA. I'm thinking some of these advancements from 2020 are going to stick.
Oh, by all means, Tom. You know, so really, a couple things that we have learned about that this year. You know, one, we've learned that a lot of our staff can work from home. You know, they can telework and they can effectively do their work, and they can do their jobs, talk to veterans, and get the work done from where they live. I mean, that protected them, and it really allowed us to do our work. But, you know, equally importantly was this telehealth that you're referencing, where, you know, we were able to take care of veterans' health care needs without their having to come to the medical center. So a couple different ways to think about that. You know, one, we did a lot of work just over the traditional telephone. So, you know, most doctors and providers will tell you that, you know, unless they're having to do a hands-on medical exam, you know, they can talk to their patient and they can, you know, through that level of communication, they can renew prescriptions, they can make an accurate diagnosis. They can do most of their work without having the veteran having to come to the medical center. Alternately, and probably even more effective, is the use of video technology. So just like we're using Microsoft Teams and, you know, WebEx and a lot of other means to communicate in our business, you know, between FaceTime and other technologies via video connections, you know, it has allowed us to see veterans. And let me give you a couple of good examples how that has helped us this year. You know, so one, with our inpatient work and thinking back into the early days of the pandemic, you know, it was one of those things where we were able to establish a video connection outside of those veterans who had COVID symptoms and were COVID positive. So our staff weren't needing to come in and out of the rooms any more frequently than they had to. So they communicate with the veterans from outside the room, take care of business in that way. It saved us a lot of personal protective equipment, and it protected both our staff and our veterans. We also did, you know, things like expanded use of technology for communication between patients and their loved ones. And so, you know, as you know, Tom, we had a very limited visitors policy this past year. We still do. And so this has allowed veterans to connect with their families. We provide them, you know, iPads. We provide them telephones in order that they can make that connection so that they're spending these, you know, sort of very dark, lonely days, not necessarily family being able to come in to see them, but at least they're being able to interact with their families.
We're speaking with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, you mentioned iPads so that the veterans, your patients, can stay in touch with their family. And you got a big contribution from one of your veteran service organizations to help with that this year.
You know, that's one great example, Tom, of how we've been supported by the community, county veteran service officers, veteran service organizations. So at one point, this was the American Legion. They came and they donated 50 iPads through their Operation Comfort Warrior to support inpatient veterans. And again, those were those iPads that I referenced that veterans could use, you know, to watch TV, to do educational things, to communicate with their families. And that, again, just one example of many, many others from service organizations. And I point out the American Legion in that case, but it's all of them. I mean, it's DAV, it is VFW, it's Military Order of the Purple Heart. All the large service organizations have been very supportive of the Minneapolis VA.
So donations overall were up this year, sir.
You know, yes, and you know, we've historically gotten a lot of donations for our Fisher Houses, you know, from large organizations, to include the Cargills and the Optums and, you know, United Healthcare and agencies like that. You know, this last year, just a lot of homegrown, you know, thinking about, you know, ladies and men sitting at home making masks and bringing those masks to the medical center in order to support our need for personal protective equipment. I mean, those are the kind of selfless things, or groups donating meals, agencies donating meals, 4,500 meals from an agency called Chefs Feeding Our Veterans, 15,000 face shields from companies like John Deere. And again, I don't mean to just single out those agencies. There were a ton of them, and it was really a great outpouring of support for veterans at a time when they really needed it. So we're very thankful for that.
And, Director, the big news, of course, the pandemic, and you recently got supplies of the vaccine at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. How's the distribution of that been going, sir?
Well, it's been going well, Tom. We were fortunately the very first in the state of Minnesota to receive the vaccine. I was in a meeting one day, and someone knocked on my door and said, "Hey, the governor's down on your loading dock." And so he knew before I did, but, you know, FedEx had delivered our first vaccines in the state of Minnesota. We received those on a Monday. Tuesday, we were putting shots in arms. And so that was December 15th when we started doing those vaccinations. And we've done about 3,800 so far, and we're doing them just as quickly as we possibly can. But yeah, we're at a pretty good pace. Long ways to go, but we're off to a good start.
And last quick question, sir. We got less than a minute for this segment. Will you be notifying the veterans when their turn comes up to have them make an appointment and come in for those vaccines?
Great question, Tom, and we're getting that a lot. And so what we are telling veterans, we've communicated via our website and via My Healthy Vet and all kinds of other means, we will let them know when it's their turn. And so, again, in the next segment, we'll talk about how we prioritize veterans. But what veterans need to know for now is that they will receive a letter from us when it comes close to their turn. We'll give them the information, who to call, how it's going to work. And so not to get anxious, we'll get through everybody, but we're working through the prioritization. Everybody's anxious to get to the top of the list. We will, and we're not going to miss anybody. We will send out letters, let veterans know when it's their turn to come in and get their vaccine.
Very good, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear more from my co-host today, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today has been Director Pat Kelly, a retired U.S. Navy captain who has been director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System since 2013 and a frequent guest on the show. And Director, we've got a special guest coming that's joining us for this second segment. Would you like to introduce her, sir?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. We're lucky, really, to have Director Kim Graves on this segment. So Kim's an Army veteran. Began her career with the VA as a claims examiner in Lincoln, Nebraska, several years ago. She was appointed as the executive director here at the VBA at the St. Paul Regional Office as far back as October of 2014. So she's been in that position for a while. She runs an incredibly great regional office. Prior to that, she had some senior leadership positions at the VA's Eastern Area Office and provided direction and oversight to a number of other VBA sites. So Kim is a good colleague, runs a great shop there at the regional office, and we are really pleased to have her on the show.
Director Graves, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here with both of you and to share some information with all of our veterans and their families across the state.
Director Graves, if we could start out, could you tell me the relationship between the St. Paul Regional Office and the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
Well, we have a great relationship with Mr. Kelly and his staff over at the Minneapolis Medical Center. We stay in close contact. We work together on issues that cross-cut both organizations, and we try to make sure that we're providing the most seamless possible service for all of our veterans, whether they're seeking medical care or if they need assistance with their non-medical benefits.
And Director Graves, you are the executive director of the Veterans Benefits Administration of the St. Paul Regional Office. And can you tell us, in 2020, this pandemic year, everybody's working virtually as much as possible. How has that impacted the veterans' benefits in terms of helping our veterans that had some kind of medical issue from their time in the service?
Well, as you noted, this year has been a challenge for all of us. Luckily, the work that we do is very able to be done in a telework environment, and we were well positioned here in St. Paul to be able to do that. So our nearly 900 employees have been largely working from home since the pandemic began in March, and really have done a tremendous job in ensuring that benefits continue to flow to our veterans and their families. We normally operate an in-person public contact or operation so that veterans can visit us in person here in the Whipple Federal Building. Obviously, due to health concerns, we've not been able to do that face-to-face contact, but we have been able to maintain those services virtually, either by phone or by video conference, to ensure that veterans are receiving the information that they need relative to their benefits and services. We're really hopeful here that based on local conditions, we'll be able to start some of that limited public contact later on this month, which will also include being able to conduct hearings benefit hearings for veterans who have asked for the opportunity for a formal hearing with a VA decision maker.
We're excited to get that back up and going. And Director Kelly, before the pandemic came on in 2020, I was looking forward to the year as a Vietnam veteran, Air Force and on the ground. But first of the year, we had some legislation so the Blue Water Navy could have access to medical care. And I'll bet that you were pretty excited about that, being a Navy officer, sir.
Yeah, great. It's a great benefit. And as you know, service organizations and others have been advocating for this for many, many years, so similar to some of the new improvements for the Agent Orange exposures. And so it's a continued expansion of benefits. Kim, as Director Graves, is very, very familiar with this. But yeah, as a sailor, it's meant a lot for me to have that opened up so that those sailors who were, you know, served within that geographical area rated some of those benefits that they deserve.
Director Graves, have you been able to help many of our Vietnam Blue Water sailors?
Absolutely. We're very proud here at the St. Paul Regional Office to be one of the 8 locations across the country that are administering benefits to our Blue Water Navy veterans. And we're the sole location administering survivor benefits to Blue Water Navy survivors. It's been a very good year. We were able to get our folks trained up and working very quickly when the legislation came out, and have been able to, across the country, deliver a great number of benefits, monetary benefits out to our veterans and their families. On a related note, recent legislation has added 3 more conditions to the list of Agent Orange presumptives: bladder cancer, hypothyroidism, and Parkinsonism or Parkinson-like symptoms. And we're encouraging veterans and survivors to go ahead and begin submitting claims for those conditions.
Well, this is Minnesota Military Radio, and we've been speaking to Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis Healthcare System and Kim Graves, Executive Director of the Veterans Benefits Administration, St. Paul Regional Office. And Director Graves, can I assume that since you're helping with a lot of those claims, that you're working pretty closely with the county veteran service officers?
Absolutely. We always encourage veterans and their families to make that first contact with their county veteran service officer. Those folks are phenomenal, as you know, and really do help smooth that process out and help our veterans and their families work through the claims process. It's a great partnership, and we can't do what we need to do to help veterans without that strong partnership with our CVSOs.
Yes, ma'am. We'd like to tell our listeners that anything related to veterans and their time in service, start with your county veteran service officer. They'll help you with some claims, and they'll show you who to talk to and get everything started. So our county veteran service officer is a great place to start. Ma'am, I wanted to ask you, with all the distractions from the COVID and the pandemic, are there other large-scale initiatives that the VBA was able to launch during 2020 despite those distractions?
Absolutely. Looking back, it's been quite a year. As we noted, we were able to very quickly transition to a largely virtual operation, but we've also been able to launch some new initiatives. One of them that we're very close to here in St. Paul is VBA has made the effort to try to streamline and make more efficient processing of claims for some of those ancillary benefits, like adding dependents to a veteran's record, drill pay adjustments, those kind of things. We are one of 8 locations across the nation who are administering those specific veterans specific benefits for veterans, and that has been able across the country to really improve the timeliness of getting those benefits out to veterans by streamlining that process.
And Director Gaves, I just want to follow up. In the past, there's been a backlog of claims, and I think we've worked through most of that, but are those claims are coming around in pretty good shape, and are you able to start resuming the compensation and pension exam soon?
Absolutely. Out of an abundance of caution, making sure that veterans are safe and our examiners are safe, we did suspend those exams for a period of time. Most of those exam locations across the country have resumed. I think most folks are aware that we We use some contract vendors to assist with those exams. But based on local conditions across the country, we've been able to, and here in Minnesota, been able to resume many of those exams. There are certain exams, such as those that would require the removal of masks, like pulmonary function tests, those kind of things, that we're still ramping those up. But otherwise, we are beginning to have more of those exams be completed. I do want to make sure that veterans know that if you are being asked to report for an exam for your benefits, but you're not comfortable yet coming in based on COVID, please just let us know that. Let the scheduler know that. We will not adjudicate your claim until such time as you are comfortable to come in and work with us on completing that examination.
Great message, ma'am, and I'd like to thank you for taking time to join us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Director Kelly, sounds like you've got a great partner at the Veterans Benefit Administration St. Paul Regional Office for anything that you need help with over there.
You know, Tom, one of the things that Ms. Grave touched on, and I would reinforce that, she mentioned twice two very specific programs where they were one of eight in the nation that are implementing these programs. The reason why the St. Paul Regional Office is selected for these programs is because they're so good. We are very, very fortunate in the state of Minnesota to have benefits being adjudicated by our regional office. Kim runs a great shop, and our veterans are, again, we're very, very fortunate for that.
Thank you, Director. We're about out of time for this segment. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Fort Snelling National Cemetery, and a Marine will join us, so it's going to get a little wild, sir, but this is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with my co-host, Director Pat Kelly, from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And Director Kelly is a retired U.S. Navy captain. And Director Kelly, we played some special music because we're going to be joined by a Marine now, retired United States Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel John Knapp, who is the Deputy Cemetery Director at Fort Snelling National Cemetery Complex. Director Knapp, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure. You get me standing straight at attention, and I appreciate that, because as long as that hair is standing on the back of my neck when I hear that song, life is good.
Well, Colonel, it's good for your breathing, and we can hear you well. And just want to ask you right away, 2020 was quite a year with the pandemic coming in. We had you on Memorial Day, and things were shut down for a bit, and you were trying to catch up, and nobody knew that that pandemic was going to drag on all year, but finally the vaccine is here. But how did everything turn out from an operational environment for last year, and how did your great crew do out there?
Well, it was as everybody in our society, it was a very challenging time. And, you know, we are the fourth busiest cemetery out of 153 national cemeteries in the nation. We were down about 700 interments from the year before, and that's because from March 23rd to June 8th, we had to just forego committals but continue with burials, and we had to reduce our staff and reduce, you know, with the slowing of the spread and the ensuring we had COVID-19 protocols in place to protect our employees, because continuity of operations was the most important thing so we can continue to perform our mission for our veterans and their families. And we did so, but that it created a little bit of a backlog both in honor services and in services we weren't able to get to. So people were holding on to, for example, urns because they couldn't have a service. But we did catch up all those late in the summer. We got back up to full strength with our employees. We've got a really good system in place to ensure we can run a full operational model to make sure we're giving our veterans and their families the services and the burials that they deserve in a national shrine.
And Colonel Knapp, I was out there for a tour of that a while back, and a couple of things stuck with me. Number one was occasionally you get in a veteran that has no family here, and they don't get buried alone. And you also told me that you get urns with remains that get sent in, and you kind of save those up. And when you bury those, a lot of your staff shows up, and those veterans don't get buried alone. And that stuck with me. And wow, fantastic job, sir.
Get it? Yeah, it does kind of dovetail into kind of a strategic idea that our undersecretary gave us, which is a no veteran ever dies concept. And what he means by that is he tells us that, you know, a veteran dies when they take their last breath, but they truly die whenever we stop saying their name, stop telling their story, and stop honoring them. So when we do get a veteran who may have been lost in our society, that comes without a family or without any friends, our staff will stand in and make sure that they're given a proper send-off and a proper burial. So we do that. We just did one last week. So, yes, very important to all of us. We have about an 80% veteran staff here, and I can't say enough about them. They, day in, day out, do the honorable and tremendously right thing for all our veterans and their families.
Great job, sir. Director Kelly, you're a retired Navy captain. Of course, I was in the Air Force. Seems like we've been hauling these Marines around forever. But he's one of your neighbors out there. You get out to see him once in a while?
You know, he brought down the value of the neighborhood when he moved in here in the Marine Corps. But we've overcome that. And actually, John is a great colleague and great, you know, they run a great cemetery there. And you know, John has been there almost 7 years now. And you know, if you've been to the National Cemetery at Fort Snelling, you know how beautiful it is. If you've experienced a burial there, you know what a terrific job they do, and their collaboration with the families, with the color guard, with everybody involved, really distinguishes their work. And really, at that last time for that family to be with their loved ones, they really make it special. So yeah, John and his team do great work over there.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we've been speaking to Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System and retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel John Knapp from the Fort Snelling National Cemetery. And Colonel Knapp, I wanted to ask you about you were scheduled to do some improvements in the last year with all the pandemic and everything going on. Were you able to take care of some of those things?
We did, and probably if there's a silver lining in all the difficulties we had in our operational model, we were able to continue with several constructions. We've built a whole new construction material handling facility, which handles in the winter months all of our soils and all of our sand salt mixtures and our black dirt and all the things we need for the burial operations. Instead of it being frozen, it's, you know, we're able to keep it in a heated facility. We built that just this year, just opening now. We reconstructed an old building built in the 1950s. It's been totally remodeled. We did a national shrine project, and what that is we took five large sections in the cemetery and about 11,000 headstones, raised and realigned them and straightened them out, and then put a whole brand-new turf down for them. So those look really, really nice now, some older sections. We did a lot of other smaller ones, and this year coming up we have a signage project where we're going to redo all the signs in the cemetery. We call it a wayfinding project, but it's a customer service piece where people can easily navigate such a large facility. So yeah, we've gotten a lot done, and we're doing a lot that we can. And I would also like to add one other thing. We expanded operations to Rhinelander, Wisconsin. We opened a new cemetery out there called Northwoods National Cemetery that opened in August, and we did our first burials in October, and that kind of is a complement to the one we did in 2019, which is up in Fargo. So we got two new cemeteries that we oversee here in this area.
Colonel Knapp, one other thing I learned when I was out there, you told me that there was a form I could fill out and send in along with my discharge papers, and I, so to speak, would be pre-authorized did the work on behalf of my family for when the time comes for me to move into the Fort Snelling. All I have to do is show you that certificate. Is that something you recommend the veterans get done to make things easier?
It is a program we have. It's called Pre-Need. The form can be gotten on our website, and it also can you can also fill it out online now, so you don't have to necessarily do the old fill it out and mail it in. But so, yeah, it's still a program we do. And I would encourage those veterans who feel they might be in a category that they're not sure if they're eligible to be buried in a national cemetery. And so that way they can have peace of mind for them and their family at a time, at their greatest time of need, those kinds of answers are done quickly for them. So, yeah, that's a program we have. We're very excited about that program.
And, Colonel, one last question. How is the Color Guard doing out there? They've been out there for decades. Are they still hard at it?
Yeah, the Memorial Rifle Squad, unique, one of a kind. There's many that try to emulate it, but they are the best. And they started in 1979, and they're still at it. They never miss a ceremony. They've done over 80,000 ceremonies out here. They're out here today doing, I think, 8 today. Average age, about 78 years old, 125 men and women. And they, all veterans, and yeah, they're doing a fantastic job. Because of COVID, we've had to scale them down to 10 instead of 22 to 24 in each squad. But they're out there performing day in, day out, the honor ceremonies for our veterans.
Very good, sir. Director Kelly, I think I'm glad we've got a Marine Corps officer out there looking over Fort Snelling National Cemetery.
Well, you can be assured that our veterans in Minnesota are going to get the best burial services anywhere. So, John, thanks to you and your staff, you're doing terrific work. Really proud of you.
Well, thank you, sir. And I can't take any of the credit. It's the credit of the staff, that these guys that are outside day in, day out in the all the weather we have here in Minnesota, they never fail. And I get to maybe be the smiling face, but at the end of the day, they're the ones that really do the hard work out here. And I'm very proud of the staff and very proud of the relationship we have for the VA here in Minnesota.
Colonel Knapp, thanks for joining us today, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure.
That was retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel John Knapp on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. I'll be back with more with Director Pat Kelly on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We're going to talk a little bit more with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System in a moment. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, or MDVA, we continue to prepare for the upcoming legislative session. Last year's session helped MDVA to reposition itself in order to better serve Minnesota's veterans and their families. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is a unique state agency because of our nonpartisan nature. It is important now, more than ever, to focus on the mission. What we need to do as a department to educate our state leaders. Doing so will allow us to work together to assist Minnesota's heroes. As a country and as a state, we have made certain commitments to our veterans. It's important that we keep good on those promises. Stay up to date on both the federal and state legislative updates during this upcoming session. Please visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We've been honored today to have a co-host who is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Director, a couple of segments ago, we talked a little bit about the vaccine, and you indicated that for all the patients at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, they'll be receiving letters, and they'll know when it's their turn to come in.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I'm really glad we can put that out to your listeners, because it's we get a lot of questions about that, and our priorities will be to get those oldest veterans and the sickest veterans and get them in here first. And again, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention has defined priorities that we're using in terms of how we get veterans in. But, you know, the very first veterans will be those sickest veterans who are getting chemotherapy or maybe they're on dialysis. We will then go to those veterans over 85 years old and then transition to the 75-year-old and above and sort of work our way down the list in that way. So it's going to be going on for much of the year. I anticipate this will take us about 6 months to get through everybody. But what veterans do need to know, that very important part of communication, is that they will get a letter from us. We will tell them when it's their turn. Or in some cases, they may even get a phone call. But they don't need to come to the medical center. We will reach out to them.
Sir, we always talk a little bit about your hard hat, because ever since I've known you, there's been some projects going on. Do you have some projects with your community-based outpatient clinics and here at the Minneapolis VA?
Yeah, we do. You know, so one of the things that we are doing is updating the status of our current community-based clinics. And so, you know, we have 13. In this next year, we're going to actually refresh five of those clinics. There are going to be five new clinics in the towns of Albert Lea, Shakopee, Hibbing, Ely, and then Rice Lake in Wisconsin. And so, again, it signals to those communities that the VA is there to stay. We have a recurring, ongoing commitment. Shortly after that, we're going to be doing Mankato and St. James. We're going to be doing our Maplewood Clinic here in 2022. And so it's an ongoing cycle. But in fiscal year 21, it's going to be five CBOCs. And again, it's going to be an expansion in space, in some cases an expansion in service. But again, more than anything else, signaling to those communities that the Minneapolis VA and VA healthcare is in their community to stay.
And, sir, are we going to get started on the new women's clinic out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
You know, Tom, as soon as the ground thaws, we are ready to put a shovel in the ground. And that's such an exciting, important project. So we will have a standalone building for women veterans exclusively. In that building, we're going to be doing lab work. We're going to be doing x-rays. We'll have our women health providers. And it really is going to provide that space exclusive to women veterans so that they feel comfortable and they're getting the care that they rate. And I hope more and more women veterans choose to get their health care through the VA because that's going to be a good service for them.
Can't wait to see it, sir. And if they let us in there, maybe they'll let us do a show from there. Director, we've only got about a minute left. I understand with the new administration out in Washington, D.C., we're going to get a new VA secretary.
You know, Tom, Dennis McDonough, who was the chief of staff to President Obama from Stillwater, has been nominated. And, gosh, he's not a veteran, but what a great guy. He you know, in terms of, I recently read President Obama's book, and boy, did he have a lot of good things to say about Dennis McDonough. He is a graduate of St. John's University. So for those Johnnies out there, we can take a lot of pride in that. 92 graduate. Played football in Stillwater at St. John's. You know, what it means for Minnesota is that we will get a lot of attention, which I like it. We're going to get secretary, we'll visit. He'll come and see us. You know, the chief of staff, Pam Powers, is a Minnesota veteran. She comes back, sees us here. But Mr. McDonough, I think, is really going to do a great job for the VA if selected. And I very much look forward to working with him and seeing what kind of improvements he brings to VA healthcare.
Sir, it's been a lot of fun today. We've talked about a lot of topics, and I'd like to thank you for being our co-host for today's show.
Thanks, Tom. Always great being with you.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Joining me now is Greg Peterson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer. Greg, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's good to be back, but it seems like it hasn't even been a month yet. Time is flying.
Well, we got to keep you on the air, and we've got something special to talk about today. You know, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I suffer for some Agent Orange things. And I know firsthand how wonderful it is to have the VA recognize certain conditions. They're called presumption conditions. And I understand there's been a change and some new diseases are added to that list. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, that just came out with the Defense Authorization Act that Congress overriding the president's veto. But it added three new diseases that we've been looking forward to getting. They are bladder cancer, hypothyroidism, and Parkinsonism, which is tremors and tics, but they don't yet can't pin it down and say it's Parkinson's disease.
Now, these are presumptive conditions that mean if you were on the ground or Blue Water Navy and exposed to Agent Orange, then these are three new conditions that'll be covered by the VA. Is that correct?
Exactly. They'll be covered by the VA for medical care, but, you know, more importantly, the veteran or the surviving spouse can get disability or survivor benefits from that. It became law, and it's effective right now. So anybody that hears this, you know, we want to, if you've got it, or your cousin had it, or your uncle, find the county veteran service officer and file your claim.
So that answers that question. What should they do if they have one of those?
Okay.
Go visit your county veteran service officer for anything related, but especially for these presumptive conditions from Agent Orange. And you mentioned what happens if the veteran's already passed away but had these issues and they approved this too late?
Well, the widow or even surviving children can go and apply for the benefits using the death certificate that shows that the veteran had the condition, died of the condition, and the VA will go back and grant the widow, it's called DIC, it's about $1,350 a month. There's free health insurance for the widow that comes along with that. There's free education benefits for children, even adult children in Minnesota. So they should apply.
So can you tell us those three conditions once again, Greg?
Yep. Hypothyroidism, bladder cancer, and Parkinsonism. And I'll tell you, I had a vet in here on Monday. We were doing a diabetes claim. And I said, oh, by the way, these three just came out. And he said, I've got hypothyroidism. And he had the evidence right in his hands. So
there you go.
We filed another claim.
So if there's any veterans out there that have been exposed to Agent Orange and you have one of those conditions, get a hold of your county veteran service officer. Go on in there, talk to them, and they'll help you file a claim. Greg, it's a great thing that you've got your fellow county veteran service officers all over Minnesota.
All over Minnesota, and we're always willing to help. That's what we do.
All right, sir. I want to thank you for joining us today, and it's good news on three new Agent Orange presumptive conditions.
It sure is. It's a wonderful new year.
Thanks for joining us today. That was Greg Peterson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Kim Graves, Lieutenant Colonel John Knapp, and my co-host Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Greg Peterson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we get an update from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management Team, and Governor Tim Walz joins us for a year in review. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.